Welcome to Inclusion for All Radio, a podcast and story sharing series that seeks to represent the voice of the poor and vulnerable groups in Nigeria. Our aim is to highlight the barriers that keep the poor excluded and advocate for their removal. Inclusion for All Radio, amplifying voices unheard. Hello, my name is Chinasa Collins Oguo, and I head the Inclusion for All Advocacy Initiative at Africa Practice. Welcome to Episode 1 of the Inclusion for All Radio podcast series. This year, Break the Bias was the theme for International Women's Day, and it brought to the fore yet again the preconceived notions and sociocultural beliefs that continue to keep women globally excluded. At Inclusion for All, our goal is to ensure that no one is left out of public and private sector opportunities available within the formal economy. To do that, we must remove the barriers that hinder their access, one of which is formal ID. With this as a focus and in solidarity with the Women's Day theme, the topic for this episode is Break the Bias, Enable ID Access for Women in Vulnerable Communities. The 2017 Findex data showed that more women than men cited lack of ID as the reason for being unbanked. Globally, lack of a trusted proof of identity is a big barrier limiting access to financial services, and Nigeria is no different. According to the Access to Finance survey conducted by EFINA in 2020, of the 59 million unbanked Nigerians, 73% do not have the identity documents required to open a Tier 3 bank account. On this episode, I'll be joined by two guests. First is Suiba Muhammad Dankabo, who is the Director of Programs at ActionAid Nigeria. She's an expert in rural and sustainable development and has over 20 years of experience working directly with people living in poverty and exclusion, policy influencing at state, national, and international level. She is well-versed in many areas, including social mobilization, gender, and women's rights. My second guest is Madam Kezia Damina. She's the desk officer of Conditional Cash Transfer Program in Chikun Local Government Area, Kaduna State. She is a GL13 Assistant Chief Superintendent Officer of the Agric Department. Before I start the conversation, please listen to the Inclusion for All insights for this episode. Women, dependents, independent traders, and rural populations are considerably more likely to be excluded from Nigeria's identity system. Approximately 76% of the poorest women do not have ID nationwide. Wealth, gender, and education all play an important role in determining how acute the problem is. Today, Suiba will be speaking to the factors driving lack of ID amongst women in poor communities and the implications for them. Welcome, Suiba. It's a pleasure to have you on Inclusion for All Radio.
Thank you, Chinasa. Good to meet you too.
Fantastic. So I'll jump right into it. Thank you. So I'll just jump right into it. So our research at Inclusion for All tells us that the poorer you are, the less likely you are to own a form of ID. And I know that ActionAid's goal is to further human rights for all and defeat poverty. In your opinion, how does ID play a role in defeating poverty? And how has ActionAid engaged with the issue?
Thank you. Okay, let me start by saying the fact that identity has a lot to do with power. And the power on that anybody holds also depend about, rely on the status of the person. And as you know, the stratification of the society in Nigeria and the world over is defined by the society we live. Actually, Nigeria has worked in Nigeria for more than 20 years. And then over the world, we have been working in 45 countries. And in all these countries, we work very closely with the poor and excluded people. and then a lot of issues that have to do with poverty. We try to identify the structural causes of poverty, what they, you know, lead to exclusion. Mm-hmm. And the issue you just mentioned has a lot to do with the level and the status of people. Mm-hmm. Now, take, for example, a woman. What we do with the group of women when we enter a community, mm-hmm. apart from the assessment we do in the general in the community, which has to do with resource mapping, you know, problem identification, rights analysis, and so on, mm-hmm. we do a lot of power analysis. And realize that the identity of a person, especially a woman, starts from the day she's born as a female, who she is, and then how she is welcomed into the society. Mm-hmm. Her first, the level that she received first is the fact that she is going to an unknown person's house. So she is like, she is also seen as somebody who is going to extend the name of that family. And the surname has a lot to do with the person mm. at any time. Mm. So most of the time when you talk to a woman about what she wants to do in life, you realize that her discussion, especially in the poor and excluded community, their discussion is does not go far beyond her household. Mm. What she does, the role that is defined for her as a female, as a woman in the society, the care she has to provide to the family, she doesn't think of herself. And that is where the identity issue starts. Mm. We have a framework called peer education. This framework defines for women and work with them to identify their self-worth. So it starts from that inner, innate, talks about yourself, who you are, who you feel, and then what personality you can be. And so they are able to identify the power within them, what defines them as a person, and then the power with how they can connect together to work as women, mm-hmm. and then the power to and how they can use their power to engage any duty bearer at any time. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with the level of ambition.
Yeah.
What do I want to do? The first level of identity that a woman has, even after a lot of awareness, mm-hmm. is her voter education, what is called voter card.
Yeah.
Let's assume they have voter card. But if you do a deeper analysis, yes, it's give a person or a woman the power for enfranchise. However, the benefits of that identity mm-hmm. is not even in her. She is using it to vote for somebody. Majority of those who are being voted into power are the men. To what extent they come back to fulfill the rights of people in those communities, those who voted them into power, mm-hmm. now is a challenge. So the right to resources also.
Yeah.
What do we need identity for? So if the person does not understand what they need the identity to identify it for, mm-hmm. she is identified by her husband, she's identified by her family, mm-hmm. and there is no level, there is no independence of level of identity that the woman holds most of the time.
So
to say, I own a company.
Yeah. So what you're saying is there's a lack of sense of self, and they're so dependent on, they're defined by the people around them, their husband, their household.
Exactly.
And so there seems to be an education gap in terms of why they should even have an independent identity.
Independent identity. And so, you know, the right of the first level, again, goes beyond even the level. It's also depend on the level of, recognition of people's rights in terms of basic social needs.
Yes.
The structure or system that registers people, identify them, how close is it to the people in those areas?
Mm-hmm.
What will it take a person to get registered?
Mm-hmm.
We introduced a project called Breaking Digital Barriers mm-hmm. because we realized that people or young children from the communities have to travel long distance from their communities to even register for their exams.
Mm-hmm.
So to what extent, even if we say to bring it closer to people to be identified,
yes.
they have to go into, they have to like fill certain forms
yes.
or get certain things done.
Documents.
If they don't prioritize it,
mm-hmm.
it will not make sense to them. And then that prioritization will have to do a lot of critical understanding of, okay, what is the worth? Mm-hmm. So what is the benefit for me?
Yes.
Why do I need to register for?
Yes, if it's so
she
difficult
is a smallholder woman.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. She is a smallholder farmer in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the 64% of the food that we have in Nigeria, or that we eat, the food that comes to the table is coming from the people. These are people, the peasant farmers, the women who produce them. However, they do not identify with the level of, you know, processes that goes in. Once they produce, the middlemen take them and they sell exorbitantly.
And how does identity...
That's all for her. Only identified as a community farmer.
Right, right.
The role of identity, a person who owns a company will identify by the business that they run. Most of the business in the community that women run are not even registered. They do not have those kind of basic registration. It is now that we are trying to, you know, a lot of, I mean, you know, information is going into, say, register your product. And that is where the issue of power comes in.
So
power
how,
is not given.
I would like to live in a
patriarchal society.
Yes. I was going to come to that.
Where it is a struggle. It's a struggle for women to own these resources. So again, like I said before, it tells me, you know, it depends on what I need and why I need to be identified for. Somebody who does not travel anywhere. If you have to travel, you need your international passport.
Correct.
You need your basic, you know, NIN and so on and so forth. How many women in rural areas have independent bank account?
Exactly.
Many of them are mobilized to group, open an account, do a group savings because they want to give them loan. This loan that they're giving them is not free.
But even to get that loan, they need to have ID. They need to have a formal form of ID.
That is it. That is it. So, but then that's what I'm telling you. Most of the people who even introduce the identity issue to them is not in their own personal interest. That independent registration is very, very limited within the elites. And some register it, but the poor woman in the community who does all the work, who wakes up 5 a.m., before 5 a.m., she's awake. She wakes up first, sleep last, produce, support everybody, do the whole care, but she is not identified as that woman that she is. So, as their capacity grow, understand their self-worth and need to be a power-based issue, they are not likely to even understand that. If she's pregnant, she goes to a hospital. If there's no hospital, majority of the children in Nigeria are born at home. They are delivered at home, supported by what you call traditional birth attendants. The first level of registration happens at the point of birth. How many children in the communities have birth registration? Very few. How many of them are registered to say, okay, they go into, the, they are registered in the school, the school register is there, but after school, the first level of registration for those who are able to go to school, who are lucky to go to school, is their school leaving certificate. Now, those women who have been there over time, and remember that majority of the young women, especially the girl child, are even out of school. If there is priority for who goes to school in a family, the boy goes, the girls don't. So even that registration at the school level excludes them. Registration at the business level excludes them.
Them as well.
Power is not allowing them because there is that, it's that level of denial. While they still provide the care, and even when it comes to the urban areas, when they come, when no majority of the women do not see that benefit, it is becoming, you know, it is changing a little bit because now they state the registration for just for butter cut. They are seeing a situation where the business that women are doing as a, or as cooperatives is, you know, is integrating. Some women are now becoming business owners. Now, I talked about their education before. Their education brings women together to have that level of power break. And you see that they are in becoming the understanding now what constitutes their self-worth and what will make them to be independent citizens in the country. So that level of independence is growing. And then with the level of awareness improving, in, you know, in increasing, they are able to see the limited understanding and demand or asking. People are asking questions. What do I need to do this? What do I need to do this? Like if you are want to register a small business, because now we are bringing about local, talking about local content. If you have a small restaurant in the community, don't go buy during meetings or during workshops outside the community. We buy from the local vendors and we patronize more of the women. So from there, our registration issue starts. You want to register a small business, you need to be identified.
Of course. Yes.
So, but because of the level limitation and the alignment with the value chain, they are let out of registration completely.
Wow.
And so the level of issue of ID or identity.
So what I hear you saying is
a huge work that we need to do, exactly.
So the lack of ID limits them from accessing opportunities, which is the reason that we're doing the work that we're doing at Inclusion for All. You know, we understand that it's a limitation to access a lot of opportunities within the private and public sector. And we find that obviously this lack of identity is prevalent amongst the poorest communities, especially women. And that's, you know, that's the area that you've worked in. I was going to ask a specific question. So I know you've talked about some of the reasons and you talk about the women themselves being aware of who they are and having that sense of identity themselves first, which is where the power begins. But there was a 2021 survey by World Bank revealed that Muslim women from poor households in northern Nigeria and girls married under 18 years are least likely to have or be able to obtain an ID. And I just wanted you to speak to that. Is this the case? Because you've talked about patriarchal norms. Is this peculiar to homes where they're Muslim, or is it just across board? And how is this changing from your experience? Do you think there's been an improvement, or is it still the same in terms of those limitations?
The patriarchal issue is across board.
Whether you're Muslim or Christian, it doesn't matter.
Where you're Muslim or women, so long as you are living in the poor rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
Let me even come to it. If I just say that, okay, a Muslim woman has an opportunity to get registered or to have a one level of identity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take for instance, the opportunity for Hajj as one of the religious rites gives a Muslim woman an opportunity to get an identification through an international passport, because she can't travel anywhere without the passport.
Okay.
So she has that one reason. But furthermore, to buttress the point you made about the research, it is true. Because for a Muslim woman, once you are identified by marriage, by
women
your daughter,
are identified
your father,
by marriage.
Yes, Islamically, a woman is supposed to bear her father's name, married or unmarried. Right now, after 54 years of my life, I have just changed my name to bear my father's name. Mm-hmm. I've been using my husband's name for obvious reasons. So by the religion, once you are identified by your father, and then society recognizes you as a wife of somebody, a wife of, and you are supposed to be provided for and be catered and cared for. But it does not stop you from being identified for political reasons, because you need to have identity, to an ID for you to vote. And Islam does not prevent any woman or anybody from voting. You know, you can participate in politics, you can vote, you can participate in businesses.
But do you need because
of
husband's permission?
The culture, we do.
Okay.
You do.
Okay.
You need husband's permission to get certain things, but the culture has also, you know, complicated that, because not even within the confines of religion, if you anyone now wants to buy property, the dealers was the agent may not sell to her except she produce her husband.
Right.
If she doesn't have a husband, an uncle, if there's no
and
uncle,
this is,
there's another person.
And this is
so
the
on.
Same for women in poor communities, I imagine.
Most of the time. And, you know, so that there's a lot of areas that limits the women from getting ID. But now, because of the changing situation, just recently there's this agitation by women. They occupy us. The three reasons why women are there, they're asking for the issue of indigenship. Where do you belong? Where do you live after they marry? And the marriage can take anyone anywhere. And so if she's, and yes, she's an indigenous of Nigeria, but how? What can identify her? How will I, you know, identify myself and as an indigenous of Nigeria? By birth, most of them are excluded from birth. But because the law of Nigeria says for you to be identified as Nigerian, you need identity card. So it becomes mandatory for everyone to get the identity card to be known as a Nigerian, whether you travel or not, whether you you have business or not, because we have the right to be a registered member of Nigeria. And so it becomes a part of life. It becomes an issue that every woman needs to understand and recognize. Because many men do not understand why this registration, because every you know, issue, the first thing as human that people ask is why should I bother? So that level of awareness of the value important. Of the registration, of being identity, of what is the benefit.
Okay.
So any message that will take the awareness to people on why registration needs to include what is the benefit, unless we categorically say
take
it,
the benefit.
It doesn't make any sense to anybody. So long as a woman has her husband, she sees that she has an umbrella over her head.
And that's her identity.
Whatever comes.
So she doesn't feel
that's
the
her
need.
Identity.
Wow.
She doesn't feel exactly to be independently registered. Even some majority of men also don't have identity card. It's not just the women.
Data is showing is that the women are less likely to have, and for these reasons that you've stated. And you're right. I think that what's important is the education to even let them know the benefit of having that ID. And I know that in some parts of the North as well, for security reasons, people have now begun to get ID just because you want to be identified so that, you know, you're not assumed to be a terrorist, right? So
for the insecurity that is happening,
yes,
it becomes mandatory. So this is one of the selling points.
Right.
Not because, you know, the trust is reducing. The level of trust is reducing. The issue of insecurity is rising. And we need to know exactly where we belong. Before now, the population of Nigeria is small.
Mm-hmm.
Every household is known. You know your neighbor. You know what happens everywhere.
Yeah.
But this is not the case today
anymore.
And so just yesterday, there was a story of somebody whose daughter was taken away and was killed by a neighbor.
Wow.
So if this is happening, the first level of question is, who is he or who is she? Or who is the father? Where this? If the person is found on the world,
yes.
Who are you? What do you do?
And
other
do
countries,
you go
with your ID.
Absolutely.
Everywhere you go, you have something that identifies you as you move on the road. And this is one of the steps that can also curb the issues of insecurity, even in Nigeria.
Yes.
So I think that we really need to do that, this level of awareness,
yeah.
Raise awareness. And even for us, I've discussed with a lot of women in several forums why women need to be independent.
Independent. And
even if you are taken care of,
yes,
you may have, and it starts from being you identified as a person, as you.
Yes.
Even if the name of the person, your surname is bearing somebody, at least you have something to show
of
that
course.
This is me. Because
it gives you
today
access.
Somebody may be here.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you access. Wherever you go, even if you want to have certain advantage, you know, now we are promoting education for those who are dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
But with the identity, you are able to be identified as either an indigenous of a particular area, and you have, the opportunity for scholarship.
Yeah.
If you don't have an identity card, it is difficult for you to get that.
To get that
so it is really very important, and from education level, from issues around access to businesses, access to opportunities and services.
Yes.
And one thing that people don't understand, for government to provide basic social services, they rely on information on population.
Absolutely.
Without you getting identity, there's no way you can form part of the population of the country.
Absolutely.
And if Nigeria has to plan,
yes.
they rely on the data, on the who is in Nigeria and who is Nigerian. So there's a gap between what is budgeted for, planned for, and then the population of Nigeria, because there is no adequate identification that is matching the information that government has to plan. And so while we accuse government for lack of basic social services, we also need to see what are we doing. So we go to demand, we can show our number by the data based on those who have identity and they are registered. However, the process of getting identity and getting registration needs to be brought closer to the people.
Absolutely.
It is not worth it for me to travel all the way, pay 2,000, 3,000 naira to go and to meet somebody just to be told that there's no internet. Well, because sometimes you go to these online businesses or online services, even in the government registration centers.
Yes.
I've been to where I get my NIN registration personally.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I go to, I don't even want to say what I went through.
And that is not, even, and that's you as living in an urban area. So imagine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, what of somebody who has to travel very far?
Yeah.
We have, like I said, one of the things that we are trying to do this time around is to break digital barriers,
yeah.
bring computer centers into communities. In fact, just last week we launched working with persons with disabilities, we launched a center in one of the remote rural areas. Children over 100 years in that community, nobody has ever seen a computer before. Mm. Now they are seeing in the community, including children with disabilities, they are seeing it as an opportunity to learn and touch computers, and then to be able to use it. We have facilitated, you know, it's a space for people in the poor, excluded communities to participate in meeting in New York because of access to digital services in their community. Yeah. So unless we go this route, and the awareness is created, it is quickly matched with opportunities and services there.
Yeah.
So it has to be affordable, it has to be available, and it has to be accessible.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Seba, for that insightful discussion. And it's interesting that you talk about how ID gives access to even social welfare programs from the States and how that's limiting access for women in rural communities. Because my next guest, Madam Kezia, is here to highlight how ID is actually enabling women in vulnerable communities and giving them access to the National Cash Transfer Program. And just a little bit about what the National Cash Transfer Program is about. It's one of the four social investment programs that has been anchored by the federal government of Nigeria under the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs, Disaster Management and Social Development. It is a component of the National Social Safety Net Project, which provides financial support to targeted, poor and vulnerable Nigerian households. It's done by way of a monthly cash transfer valued at 5,000 Naira. The program was set up to achieve a number of key objectives, including access to sustainable livelihood. Kaduna State started the program in 2017 with 9 local government areas, and Madam Kezia is the desk officer for one of those local government areas, Chikun Local Government. So, welcome, Madam Kezia, and thank you for joining me on Inclusion for All Radio.
It's my pleasure.
Fantastic.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. So we've been talking, I just introduced the cash transfer program and how it's enabling women in vulnerable communities in Kaduna State, specifically the local government area that you manage. And my first question is, why is it that women are the target beneficiary groups in the households? Why do you target women in the households that you enroll?
Thank you, Ms. Chinasa. Why we target women as caregivers is because the women are responsible to cook, sweep the house, taking care of the children, and managing the daily activities of the house. If you can believe with me, there is a saying that says, when you educate a woman, you educate a nation. Mm-hmm. And likewise, in this program, when a female woman used as a caregiver, definitely every member of the household would benefit from the stipend given to them, because she can judiciously use the stipend by starting a small business, such as selling of fried akara, kunu, zaki okuninga, yam. Remember, there is nothing you can give a woman that she cannot multiply it for you.
Yeah.
This program has helped a lot of households in improve in their lovely activities. And also, there are set objectives that the beneficiaries are expected to do.
Mm-hmm.
To participate in program organized training, such as life skills and savings group mobilization training, compliance to core responsibilities, judicious utilization of benefits, social strong economic group formation and membership, financial inclusion, peer review cohesion. Considering that it is women that will partake in these activities effectively, so giving the benefit to women will result in better outcomes than men. Because there are some men, when you give them that 5,000, or that stipend, instead of them to use it for the family, some, they will even choose to marry a second wife thinking that they have arrived. Some, they can even take it outside and go and spend it with their side chicks. And that is why we decided to give to women as caregivers. Because if you give a woman, definitely the whole household will benefit from it. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Madam Kezia, for that answer. And I like that you've explained why women are the better parties to give the cash to, because they'll use it for the entire household as opposed to themselves, which is what you said the men will do. Thank you. So I just wanted to ask, as you know, that the focus of this conversation is about access to identity. And just to, for you, can you highlight the role of identity in this program? So for me to have access to this cash, I imagine that you must have some form of ID. And what are the challenges that you've experienced with trying to enroll beneficiaries on the program?
Okay, some of the challenges that we normally have during enrollment program. One is social cultural norms.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a situation, if you were a man,
mm-hmm.
who said that he would allow a CTF, that is the cash transfer facilitator, to enroll his wife, to snap his wife.
Wow.
And at times, if you enter a household, if your husband is not around, most especially in the northern part,
mm-hmm.
they won't allow you, they will tell you that they won't allow you to snap them until they take permission on their husbands.
Wow.
So we will ask them to please tell their husbands to come. When the husbands came,
mm-hmm.
we will sensitize them,
mm-hmm.
to enlighten them about the program. Then they will allow us to snap their wives. Then another problem,
mm-hmm.
is discrepancy in the name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some female in their NRCN number, that is National Social Register number,
yes.
you find out that it's their husband's name. And in their BVN, is their father's name.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, we normally have problem with that one.
Yes.
And
Madam
also,
Kezia, can I just ask a question around that? So I understand that. So Hajia Suiba was talking about that. In the northern culture, when you are married, you're supposed to keep your father's name, not your husband's name, which is what typically happens is that you, when you get married, you change your name to your husband's name. But in the north, what holds is that you keep your father's name. And isn't that why they're having this issue? And how can it be addressed?
Okay, like in the north, mm-hmm. you know there are Christians and Muslims.
Correct.
You understand? So like in the Muslims, they can keep their names. But Christians, they change their names.
Okay.
So normally in the northern part, there are Christians. So in the Christians, we normally have these issues.
Mm-hmm.
Those changing to their husband's names.
Okay.
And in the Muslim part, we don't normally have, in some areas, we do have that issues.
Right.
During this enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
When the enumerators, when they are, as if they come to the head of house, school.
Yeah.
So definitely you see it's her husband's name that mm-hmm. will be head of household, not her father.
Wow. Okay. So those people that have different names, how do you then circumvent, or how do you go around that issue, that challenge?
Okay, in that challenges,
mm-hmm.
normally is if they want to open bank
accounts. Okay.
We want to open accounts for them.
That's
that is when we have that challenges. You understand, but
yes.
when we take their payment card,
mm-hmm.
their payment ID card,
yes.
to the bank, at times they will agree because we tell them that for the National Social Register, this is the number. Like during this period, that some women want to access loan from the Kaduna Women Empowerment Fund.
Yes.
So we have to at least tell them that for their National Social Register, they use this name, but for their BVN. And they accepted it because of that ID card.
Okay. So because of the National Social Registration Card, the bank is able to accept and offer them loans.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Kezia.
Yes.
So my next question is, and what I also wanted to highlight with this discussion, is how having ID gives you access to opportunities that can transform your life. And I know that the women in the community that you say that their lives have been transformed just because they've been able to access this program. Can you share a couple of those stories with us?
Okay, from the benefiting household, there are a lot of success stories, which include improved household consumption,
mm-hmm.
increased utilization of health and nutrition mm-hmm. services, and in sustainable livelihoods. And also there is success story from a beneficiary,
mm-hmm.
a Biskila Philip, that she normally sells kunu yada. So, and through this program, and through this gain that she has been getting from, she was able to send her daughter to school.
Mm.
Because before her daughter finished this government secondary school, and the daughter has been staying at home. So when she started enjoying this program, her daughter got admission in Federal Polytechnic, Karanamoda, in Zamfara State. As I'm talking to you, by the special grace of God, her daughter will soon be rounding up her diploma.
Wow.
And also there is one Sarah Bulus, all in one word in Tukun local government, Kaduna State. If you even want, I can send the video clips to you with their NRC number and their ID card so that you can see for you to be,
to
at
be
least
sure.
To
we,
know that
we believe you.
Program
is working.
That Sarah, from her story, she said her husband was doing nothing. All of them, they were doing nothing. They don't have anything doing. And at times, her children even attend LEA. So in the LEA, they will ask them to bring something. Like before, they will ask them to bring money to buy either chalk or maybe for something.
Mm-hmm.
She will even, just come on 200 or she can afford.
Wow.
But when she started benefiting from this program,
yes,
she said her children now are doing well in school. And before, they were even eating once in a day, but now they can afford 3 square meals. Not just 3 square meals, but a well-balanced diet.
Madam Kezia,
so, we told you. Yes.
Thank you. So was it, because I know that what their sense is 5,000 Naira. So is it that, what do these women do? They put that money into their business to grow their business? Is that how it has worked for them?
And you know it's bi-monthly.
Yes.
So since it is bi-monthly, it's 10,000 they normally collect. And you know, we coach and mentor them in social group mobilization,
okay,
SGM, and life skill training.
Okay.
So in that one, they can ask either loan from that their cooperative group. Because in that cooperative, they normally meet weekly.
Okay.
And they contribute either 50, 100, 200. It
I
depends
see.
With the cooperative
I
group.
See. Mm-hmm.
And from there, a member can access loan to add in that the money that she has collected.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, even if it is 5,000 Naira, you can buy one bottle of granite oil, you can buy one locker of beans, you can buy at least 500 Naira, you can use 100 Naira to grind, and you can even start with your pot if you don't have the frying pan to start the business.
Wow.
And if God help you, and that's how they normally
that's
start. And we encourage them to start saving. And that is why we ask them to open
bank account.
Savings account.
Awesome.
In the bank. Yes.
So how many women on the program that you know have bank accounts now? And how does the
in Tukun local government, we have 2,874 beneficiaries that are benefiting from this program.
Okay.
And as I'm talking to you, 100 women now have their savings account.
And how did they open their savings account? Did they use
the NRC number, the National Register, Social Register, ID payment card?
Yes.
To open the savings account.
Oh, fantastic.
And also, we also encourage them to do this local savings, something, ASUSU.
Okay.
Even if it is at least 10 Naira or 20 Naira after every sale,
yes,
they can put it inside.
Yes.
Maybe at the end of every month, if she wants, she can open it. Or maybe at the end of every quarter or half of the year, at least that one, it will help her to even pay another school fees for the next year.
Thank you very much, Madam Kezia.
Now, I just want to tell you that the ID card has been very useful to them. And because without that ID card, during the payment, they won't be able to
collect.
The payment agent, the PSP, they will not pay them. And before you even allow into the payment premises, you have to hang your ID card in your neck.
Okay, fantastic.
Because that will make us to know that you are the
registered
owner of the
register.
Because you know the way the insecurity is in North.
Yes.
So that we won't allow anybody to come into the payment premises. So that ID card helps them a lot. Because from their houses, we tell them to hang it before coming to the payment premises.
Fantastic. Awesome. Madam Kezia, so you know you had also talked about the loans from the state government. You said that, there are women on the program that now have access to loans. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
What did the Kaduna state governor, Maya Rufai, there is this program, Kaduna Women Empowerment Fund, that they give women, and it's a non-interest loan.
So what do you need to access that loan if you're a beneficiary?
It was that National Social Register card.
Okay, and a bank account?
and the bank account.
Okay.
No, it was that National Social Register ID card that we use in opening account for them in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So that ID card.
Yes.
No, and so, without that ID card, you can't be able to access that loan, because that means you are not a beneficiary.
Yes, I understand that. I think the question I wanted to ask is, but can you access that loan without a bank account? So does the money get paid into your account, or does it get given to you by cash? That's the loan from the state government.
No, it's bank account.
So it has to be bank account. Fantastic. Okay, that's what I wanted to highlight.
Yes,
okay. Thank you very much, Madam Kezia. That was very enlightening, and I appreciate you highlighting the role of ID in enabling the women in Chikun local government and how it's transformed some of their lives. We're happy to hear that, and our goal at Inclusion for All is to see more women benefit from the importance and use of ID. In February 2022, NIMSI revealed that out of the 75.36 million Nigerians that enrolled in the ID ecosystem, only 44% were female. This reinforces to me the need to continue to advocate for the inclusion of those that are likely to be left out. The stories of transformation in Chikun local government through access to a monthly stipend is a reminder that women and excluded populations in general need to be financially included, and ID ownership is critical for that to happen. On that note, thank you for listening, and watch out for the next episode of Inclusion for All Radio. To learn more about the Inclusion for All Advocacy Initiative and to access more insightful data about financial inclusion for the marginalized groups in Nigeria, please visit our website, inclusion-for-all.org, and find us across our socials on LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube at Inclusion for All.